welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum issue 131. We are here with your geekery of the week. We're going to recap everything that we saw, heard, or watched over the past week. And of course, I do this every week with my buddy, my pal, my buddy. Kane, how you doing?
Wherever he goes, my buddy.
If that was only true, the trouble we would get into.
Yeah, we get into enough trouble with the limited time that we hang out. So it's, that'd be some foreshadowing.
Yeah. But,
what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I have it's been an interesting week. We've got like tons of debuts, new movies, new TV shows. So I thought we kind of spent a little bit of time talking about like a lot of that that just came out. I'm sure there's some folks that are interested in maybe our opinions about said shows.
Man, we're the greatest podcast in the world.
And I'm interested in your opinion because we haven't really got a chance to talk about them. Because we don't go to the movies at the same time, and I just post vague things, and that's about it.
And I'm not allowed to talk about it. Because you tell me, you gotta wait. I'm like, okay, I'll wait. So I've been doing that. I'm taking your advice, and instead of blowing my wad, I wait till Sunday. Sorry, that wasn't not the exact way I meant to say that, yeah, but I just hold it in to let it out today. So
that's right. So I guess the big one is for us. I think is Ghostbusters. I mean, you and I have we're in that age group. We're the Gen Xers. We grew up on the original Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, the animated shows. I mean, everything Ghostbusters. We always talk about during our midnight movie show about remembering where you were when this show or this movie came out, and that's one of those ones I always remember, going to the movies and seeing that. And it's something that always stuck out in my head. And it's always been there in my own personal pop culture and lexicon.
I felt the same way when I went to go see it. I think you saw it the day before. I saw it on Friday. I took off work and I got up early, went to the gym and all that stuff because I work out, And I got home, took a shower, went to go see it. And I was thinking exactly the same thing. Like, where was I when I saw the first Ghostbusters in 1984? And I was like, yeah, my mom and dad took me to see it with my brother. And when I went there, theater wasn't packed because, like I said, it's before the evening.
And yeah, I think we went 4:30 Thursday. We went opening day, but at 4:30. And it was a pretty decent crowd.
It was like three people in my theater.
Oh, really? I'd say about a 50%, for Thursday afternoon. And we had a lot of geeks in our group. I can tell you that much. A lot of Ghostbuster shirts. There was somebody. If you guys go to the theaters, they are selling Ecto-1 like toys, like $40 a pop. There was like a couple of folks that actually had multiple of them with them in the theater.
And Ecto-1 plays a pretty big role in this movie. I would say he's a character in this role. It's a character, I would say, if you want to you don't want to genderize it. But when I walked in there, I think my expectations weren't high. They weren't low. They were just kind of in between because I liked the trailers. I liked everything I saw. It felt like Ghostbusters. And then, the title screen comes in and the movie begins. And it begins in a certain way. I'll just say that. I don't want to spoil it. But I guess overall, it felt like a worthy sequel to Ghostbusters. It felt like Ghostbusters. It fit the world, even though you don't see, the original cast is there, but they're not there. It's more about the kids and more about if you guys don't know yet, that's basically Egon's grandkids and that's his daughter. They move away to this creepy little house and somewhere in Oklahoma and stuff ensues. Like I said, I want to give it away.
We're just going to talk about our feelings. We're not going to.
I'm going to go in general of the way I felt walking in there, and I felt good walking in. I felt great walking out. There's a lot of, it's very warm. There's a lot. I ain't gonna lie. There are some scenes there that I teared up a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a couple. And I was trying to fight. I was like, no. But the way they did it, I was like, oh, man. Yeah, I saw a guy in back of me. I guess he came with his girl. He's probably a little bit older than I am. And I could see him doing the guy thing. He does coughs a little bit, covers his mouth, covers his face, kind of hiding those tears. And I was like, I'm not going to hide it. I can't. Yeah. I cannot at all. It and like I said, it's a worthy sequel. I don't know where they go from here, but if they want to end it, I'm cool with it too.
They left it up in the air, which I love the fact that they did that. I think with the way they ended it was like, hey, you know what? we can end here, or there are these options, you know, that things could happen. And you don't have to see those options to pan out. That's what I'm saying, that you could take whatever those. And there are two post-credit trailers, so make sure you do, you know, stay to watch those.
Yeah, I didn't know about the second one because I actually left the theater after the first.
Yeah,
I didn't see the second one. Like, I had to look online.
Second one gave you a lot of goosebumps on that one.
I didn't see it. Like, I heard, like, they're like, "Oh, you didn't say for the second one." Like, there's a second one? Because I read online while the movie was ending. I was like, "Is there post credit scenes here?" And like, whoever wrote the article was like, "I know you're trained at this point to see post credit scenes." I was like, "Okay, you're gonna tell me it's no." So I was like, "Oh, there's one." "Oh, okay." So I sat down and watched that one. Oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah. Then I laughed.
Yeah, you can find the second one online if you really are itching and need to get your fix.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. Yeah, I read what it's about, but it leads.
It's really good. Yeah, it's definitely heartwarming. You know, the best way I can describe this, and again, I'm an 80s baby all the way.
And you both.
This was like taking two of my probably favorite 80s fun movies and smashing them together. It was like taking Ghostbusters and Goonies and putting them together.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
I had this coming of age story, which I don't care what age you are. Okay. You 6 year old man, you grumpy old fucks. I don't care about you guys. All right. You guys just crap on everything right now. You need to enjoy a coming of age story. You got to remember that innocence of being a kid and being coming of age yourself. You weren't that guy. All right. you weren't that guy when you were growing up. I hope you weren't. And you just got to, that takes you back. And that's what I loved about it. I just felt like I was on a coming of age story, an adventure. I mean, if anybody's a Stephen King fan, he does horror, but he does horror with coming of age stories. It is a coming of age story when you really sit down and watch it. He has so many of those. And that's what I just captured here. I know there's a lot of complaints about like the fan service, but, this is a sequel to a very big movie. You're going to want to give service to the fans for them to appreciate it and enjoy it. And I didn't see a lot of fan service. I saw a few things scattered here and there. But that was about it. When you watch it, you'll see the rhythm of the plot seems similar, but then they change it on you. They pull a quick one on you where you're like, am I watching the same kind of movie that I've seen before? Like, there's a lot of similarities to this movie that there is to another movie. And, but once you actually watch the full thing, you're like, okay, no, this is, they were trying to set up something here. And, I think the other thing you always talk about, music. The music was perfect. There were only two songs I did not hear that I thought I wanted to hear. But again, that's me being, you know, the nostalgic factor of it. I didn't hear the old 60s song during the montage in the original one where it was like a rocking like piano beat going on when they were driving around Echo. I didn't hear that one. And then the one when the ghost broke out of the chamber in the first one, I expected to hear that one at one point. Didn't hear it, but the rest of the movie, a lot of soundtrack similarities, you know, not just the Ghostbusters theme, but the little piano thing, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, you know, they played in perfectly. I think that was great, great nostalgia, but great introduction to these great characters and just showing just family and I don't know. So anybody that just like craps on this movie, I just don't get. So I
question the morality or humanity.
Now, one of our friends that I know who does not like reboots or anything like that, his quote was, and I love this. It's better than Dune. So I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, that's a high compliment, yeah. Even though I like the new Dune, but I think
I do too, but yeah, it's
I had a conversation on Zoom on Friday night with some friends of ours, and I had a little topic and I was like, you know, going forward, you know, for these movies of the 80s or even 70s, if you're going to remake them, would you either remake the whole thing, forget about the past, or have like a reimagining and keep going forward from where the other ones left off? And I'm like, after watching this film, I'm like, you know what? They should just not forget the past.
Dude, they should not do what they did on the...
The female Ghostbusters.
On the Paul Feig version, which, you know, here they did the smart thing. They paid homage. They showed that they existed. They weren't just kind of like side characters. They were part of the world. But it was the fact that the world had forgotten about them, too. You know, when you actually watch it, and you'll see that in the trailer, one of the many trailers that are out there, they actually make that comment. He's like, "Oh, you remember this thing that happened?" Or they show the ghost trap, and you know, Paul Rudd's character's like, "Oh, hey, that's a good remake or a good model." And then he's like, "Oh, wait, this is real, okay." Oh, and that was just, I think there was like that little nod. I think if the female Ghostbusters would have done that instead of done a whole new retake. And this doesn't just go to 80s and 70s movies. They're getting ready to start touching the Gen Zs, they're getting ready to touch the millennial and the Gen Zs movies. There's the new Scream coming out. Yeah. That's their movie. I was around for that and I enjoyed that movie, but that's something that they think of when they think of their first horror movies growing up.
And they're doing the same thing with that Scream remake too. They're doing with Ghostbusters.
They're doing the smart thing.
They're not doing like an entire reboot. They're doing it like a reimagining or like a continuation.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was perfect. That's what you want.
I think it's perfect, man. I think they should do that going forward. Like you bring these guys back who were in the originals. Yes, they're not going to be the focal point of the new movie because you want to bring a younger cast in because you want to keep going forward. But at least, hey, man, they were there. Oh, I remember. Oh, they were there. Like, well, the best thing about this afterlife was they showed, like, they existed. And there's a moment in the movie, like I said, I don't want to give it away, where you meet up with a particular character and he tells you what had happened since that point. Mm-hmm. He basically explains it in, like,
fills in the gap in, like, two, three minutes.
It's like 2-3 minutes. What have we always talked about here? It's like you always forget the past. Oh, what happened in those in-between times? You don't need an entire thing. You don't need 30 minutes of, like, well, this happened. No, he explained it. 3 minutes tops. Okay, cool. Let's go forward now.
And also what's kind of cool is if you guys remember, I think it was 2010, 2009, there was a Ghostbusters video game that was supposed to be really the spiritual sequel that came out, and they talked about Shandor. And, they had that character in there, but I love the fact that there was no press about it, but J.K. Simmons was in there. That was J.K. as Shandor. I was like, yes, but the cast was awesome. Just watch it, guys. I love McKenna Grace. So, she's definitely somebody to look, forward to because she stole the movie.
Like Finn Wolfhard and everybody else is not bad, but
I know she was from like Young and the Restless and like a couple of Disney shows, something in Bernstein or something like that. And I just didn't know who she was, and I thought she did an amazing job.
You know how they remake characters and they're like, oh, they're the legacy's kid of this character. And this is like, let's just, there's no spoilers. She's the granddaughter of Egon Spengler. That's the whole thing. And it's easy to make a kid like, oh, in a complete, impersonation of the original character. She didn't do that. Now the heart was there.
Yeah, she had his tendencies, but she definitely was not him. Yeah.
But it was not him. Yeah. She was a completely different one, but you could tell, okay, that's Egon's granddaughter. And when you go to the daughter, and there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it, that ending, I can't wait till you guys see it.
Then my secondary favorite character and our friend Cindy, who went to the movies with me, looked at me and nudged my arm, was a podcast. You got to love podcast.
I just love the name.
Yeah, I got a lot of points I made from her. I was like, okay, all right. Definitely, guys, check out Ghostbusters Afterlife. So good, heartwarming, great film. It's definitely, fun for the holidays, especially.
It's a family film, man. It's definitely a family film, and all I'll use in the word is reconciliation, and I think you'll understand when you want. So,
yeah. Next one, something I guess you just watched. Did you watch all three episodes or just the first one for the Wheel of Time?
Just the two.
Just the first two? Okay. No,
just the first two, but I know we have a rule at the Asylum. We always do like the 5-episode rule. I think I might have to tweak that going into the new year.
I was thinking the same thing earlier today.
I think 5 might be a little bit much, and I think I might have to tweak it to 3.
Yeah, well, you got to think most services do 3 episodes at first.
Yeah, so I think we'll have to tweak that rule to 3. And I got to say, I was texting when I was at the gym today, and I was, because I didn't know anything about it, just from you.
Oh, we're going to start doing shots every time you mention the gym there. I was at the gym today.
So anyway, I'm over there, I'm like on one of the ellipticals, and I'm like looking, and I'm like, oh shit, because I was watching the middle of episode 2 on my phone, and then I start texting, I'm like, what is this? Who is this? Who is this witch girl? What is this? Who's the dark one? And like, I literally... gave like the who, and you're like, well, just complete. You didn't do like the normal thing. Like, you got to watch it. You were
well,
like,
no, I did. I explained and then said, you know, you got to watch it.
Yeah, but like, I love the characters. I love Rosamund Pike in there. I like the just the world, man. It's just like a mixture of all the stuff that I like, sort of like sci-fi fantasy in that world, and but there's like other stuff going on. And that's what drew me in. I'm like, who are these demons? Who is this witch? Who is this dark one guy? Like, now I want to know. And then you gave me like a synopsis of what's going on in the books and like, hey, how they're, because you're the book reader here. You know everything that's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I've read most of this series. It's a 14-book series. I haven't finished the 14th book or gotten to that far, but I've gotten enough to this point to see, you know, kind of what they're doing. And that's the one thing I will say. I'm a little disappointed in the fan group that I'm in, or a few of the fan groups I'm in for Wheel of Time, because I was bragging about how amazing these guys are, that, you know, the trailers are coming out and everybody's positive and gangbusters. Yes, this is awesome. This is awesome. And the second that dropped, all these book purists started coming out, and they literally turned into probably the worst version of the Phantom Menace I'd ever seen. Like, just horribly. They were literally going on Amazon and rating this horribly. They're giving it one-star ratings just because it's not blow-for-blow like the book. And I got to be honest, I was that way the first episode. I watched the first episode. I was not completely happy. I was like, wait, why did they do this, this, and this, and this? And I, you know, I had to take a step back for a second. I was like, you know what? This is a 14-book series. It went, started in the 1980s, ended in the 90s. The original author passed away before the books can be published or completely finished. And he had a partner picked up who on his own has become a great book writer. It was originally written by Robert Johnson. And he actually handed the reins over to a Brandon Sanderson, who's become a, you know, a writer in the fantasy world all on his own and very well respected. It's almost like Tolkien handing off the book to somebody else saying, hey, can you finish this for me? I'm not going to make it. And
not a lot of Tolkien stuff in the series.
Well, too. Again, you got to realize that everybody looks at and looks at fantasy and goes, oh, it's all based off of Tolkien. Well, guess what? Everybody that was an author in the 80s and the 90s read Tolkien. He's going to be a heavy influence, just like when people look at Tolkien and look at T.S. Eliot and anything from that time frame when Tolkien was a writer. You know who they looked at? They looked at Conan's writer. Drawing a blank on his name.
I don't have my phone.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm blanking. But no, they all. I mean, everybody. You're influenced by who you grew up and you know studied. Same thing when you look at. I mean, a lot of folks are looking at it and seeing it right now. If you're watching the Foundation series, there's a lot of Star Wars in there. It's not that way. There's a lot of Foundation in Star Wars, and that's why most folks are going like, well, that's not what I know. This is what it was. That, yes, it is very Tolkien-esque because that's what they kind of grew up on. But that's where it changes. That's the first thing. When I read the first book, I was like, oh, this has got a lot of Tolkien beats. But then they went off in different directions. And that's when you're like, oh, okay, this is where the real meat, and this is where you really see, you know, what Robert Jordan was doing. He based it and had to, like Lucas always says, you have to have these rhythms, and there's consistent things going on in a book. But what do you do after that? And that's basically what he did. And it just took off beautifully. And, but that's what I sat there and thought. I was like, they're trying to cram 14 books, 2 decades worth of books, into what's probably only going to be a 5 or 6 season show. I mean, let's be honest. They're not going to do a Supernatural. Just not going to happen. It's Amazon. It's Amazon. Yeah. They're in and out. Like, literally, we're getting ready to get The Expanse is getting ready to have their final season. They're only on book 5 based for if you look at the show. Now, book 9 is about ready to drop this week. So obviously we're not going to get the last 4 books, but they picked a spot to say, hey, you know what, we're going to kind of end here, but we don't know how it's going to end. That's why I can't wait to see the new season of Expanse, to see are they going to try to incorporate this, maybe have like a prologue to say, hey, this is what happened, you know, an epilogue, you know, and they may have to do the same thing here. They may have to choose what's important. And, and some of the things they do are out of order. Like the very first scene you see, that's explaining what probably took a good two chapters to explain. They explained it in one scene that there are men out there that are, you know, that have these powers that they're not supposed to. Only the women are allowed to have the powers. And mm-hmm. they also explained to you what the red Aes Sedai. You'll start noticing when you see the more Aes Sedai, the witches, as you put them as, the Aes Sedais have different levels. I think Moraine is a blue Aes Sedai. You have green Aes Sedais, red Aes Sedais, white Aes Sedais, and you have a black Aes Sedai, which are like, you'll like those because you like the dark and evil shit. They're all about the dark and evil. Yeah. Once you get to the black Aes Sedai, which we probably should be seeing at the end of this season. So, okay. But yeah, everything, as soon as I took that breath, I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? I came to my, I was like, you know, stop being that person. And that's when I opened myself up. And then I really enjoyed second and third episodes.
Like I said, I'm hooked after an episode and a half. I like it. It has everything that I like in it. I mean, I'm asking you questions and I actually gave you an idea about a future thing that you want to do. And I think the way you worded it out to me, if you were trying to sell a show or a book to me, you sold it to me. But yeah, and you literally did that in what, a couple paragraphs? You said it's this, and it's going to go there.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I'm fascinated. I'm not going to read 14 books.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said,
I'll read one.
I'm enjoying them. And I mean, the first one you'll enjoy if you like that. Honestly, maybe I'll tell you at the end of the series to say, hey, you know, you don't have to read those first three books. You can actually pick up and go from here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could be like, hey, if you like this first season, like, don't worry about this. Start here. And then you'll know what's going to come up for season two. I think it's a great idea. And I think it's a good show so far. Like, to me, I like it. Then again, I'm not a novel book reader like you are, like, or some people are out there. I haven't read those books. So then again, people might have changed. But then again, you read the books and you're like, well, wasn't this, but I like it because they did it this way. So you like, there's always going to be that adaptation from series and movies. You take it like it's like a comic book movie. Remember when we talked about Civil War, the movie?
Yeah.
It is not the Civil War of the comics, not even close. But in name, they did some things, they added some things. It's Civil War. So same thing with Wheel of Time. It's not the Wheel of Time books, but hey, it's Wheel of Time what we get in this Amazon series. So, but I like it. Check it out. Like the first three episodes are up already, and
yeah,
I think
that's what they do. Other streaming services will do that. I think Netflix is really the only one, the oddball out, that does the drop them all, and then everybody has to, you know, binge watch. Everybody else drops three episodes or two, and then they hook you. Which, like you were saying, I think we should change it to three.
Yeah, I think next year a couple of the changes, but we're definitely going to change it to three. So next year, guys, it is the three episode Asylum rule,
And I love the cast. I got to tell you, man, from being a fan of this, the cast may not be exactly what I imagined, but I guess what? It's not what you would have imagined. It's good. I like what they've done.
I think it's impressive.
The characters that are in there, the way they're presented are great. Yes, they're older in the books. I think they were in their 15th, 16th year. Yes, they have to age them up just like they did for Game of Thrones, you know, and that was probably one of the biggest changes for Game of Thrones. You know, most of these people were 14, 15 in Game of Thrones, and they had to age them up to do certain things. Mm. They created certain relationships that weren't there. Perrin and his wife and what happened there, not in the book, but I think what they did was they sort of, in that moment of showing Perrin and his fiance before they got married and then what happened with them, they really set something up for Perrin that took three books to explain. In that one scene, they really like, hey, you know what, we gotta show this relationship, because he wasn't in a relationship. He was in love with that girl. But, you know, that was his Rosie to his Sam, if I'm going to go Lord of the Rings. That's in the book. He admired her from afar. Mm-hmm. But in this, you know, they were married or, you know, engaged. The relationship between Rand and Egwene, they weren't a couple. They were betrothed to each other, but they weren't like, hey, they weren't together like they were here. So there was a lot of that kind of change. And there were a few characters that were introduced later than what they were. Tom, the musician, he was actually in the town with them at one point at the beginning of the book, but they showed him later on. But like I said, everything else looks great so far. You will love Moraine and Alan, her warder. And basically every Aes Sedai has a warder, basically like their muscle. So yeah, you have the magic and you have the muscle behind them, and and that's who you, and they each are assigned to each other. So that, and it's really great. And you'll love their relationship as they grow.
That's the one thing I dug, like, of the first episode, is that they're not like, you know, they're not doing it, but they're like friends, and they're,
yeah,
like, hey,
yeah, yeah. I hope they, that's the one line I hope they don't cross. There is a relationship there, but it's not what you think is there. And I hope they don't do that, because there's another character that was reintroduced in the second or third episode that she came back. We thought she was gone in the first. She came back, and that person and Lane have a ongoing
thing.
Yeah. And that's a pure, better relationship. The one that him and Moraine have, that is a very clean and pure one. It's no, I'm your brother, I watch after you, you are my life, but there's nothing more than that. And it's, I love that fact. So, but yeah, definitely guys, check it out. Love it. Especially if you've never read the book, if you have, guys, just give it some time. Just there's a quote from Brandon Sanderson, who, if anybody knows Brandon Sanderson, like I said, you know, picked up the writing of this book. There's a quote out there from him, and I tried to find it before I logged on, but there's a good quote about how, you know, he's like, they had to convince me to do certain things, and when the way they told me of was to make these things go quicker, because it is such a huge and rich world. Mm.
So yeah, check it out, guys. First three episodes are on Amazon.
Yeah,
Plus, I believe. So,
well, there's no Plus; it's just Amazon.
Or so Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is what it's called.
I'm thinking Disney Plus.
Yeah, and like I said, guys, if you are, you know, a big fan, you also have The Expanse coming out, I think, at the beginning December. So yeah, that's the only reason I'm keeping my Amazon open right now. I usually close it out like a couple times a year, but I was like, crap, I can't. I've got them. Got Wheel of Time, Expanse, and I think I'm hoping that they'll start a SG-1 series, because SG-1, by December, SG-1 is going to be removed from every freaking streaming service. It's on Netflix right now, but by December, it's supposed to be removed from everyone. And well, Amazon bought it, so everybody's thinking, yeah, that's where it's going to go. And then there's talk that they're hoping that they might reboot it.
They are. If they're going to buy that library, dude, they're not going to just put old stuff on there to be like, guess what? In 2023, Stargate is back.
Yeah. Well, you got to think. I mean, between Stargate and James Bond, that was like one of the biggest properties that they had owned, you know. And then now that they bought, you know, that library from them.
Do not be surprised if you see something on Amazon from James Bond in that world.
I would hope
maybe not Bond, not Bond himself.
Did you watch it yet? I told you to watch it. Have you watched the new one yet?
Yes.
Did you? Were you okay?
I liked it.
Did you like how it went?
I liked the ending. It was fitting.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Just making sure.
Yeah, it was good. I didn't hate it. I mean, I like out of the new Bonds that he's done, I think Casino Royale is still up there, and Skyfall number two. This one would fall about number three. But it was good. It was good. I liked the way it was a classy way to send him out. That's typical Bond character. And it was good. But like I'll say for Amazon, I think going forward, they might make like other stuff with James Bond. Maybe not Bond himself. Maybe MI6 series.
No, just do 007. I mean, James Bond is not 007. If you guys watched the last movie for James Bond, the 007 is just his code. It moved to somebody else. Well, it can be moved off to somebody else, you know? Although at the end of the movie, they did sort of hint of a retirement for the number, but I don't think they should. Yeah, I think they should continue it.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Another one came out this weekend, and I don't know if you got a chance to see it. I'm a big fan of the anime, Cowboy Bebop. Did you get a chance to check any of it out?
I saw the first episode.
I don't like that tone. I don't like that tone.
No. Don't take the tone the wrong way. I liked it. I saw the anime. Actually, the anime is on Netflix as well.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I don't see the again. I don't understand the complaints. I thought it was fun.
It's taking a couple of turns here and there from the anime that it, you know, it's not going to be a blow for blow, which I'm happy it's not.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
But yeah, it's the only thing. The only issue I have, and it's not him. I just think it was a strange casting choice, John Cho. I see Sulu, I see Harold and Kumar. I know it falls on me, but it's like sometimes, like when they're talking about recasting certain characters, like again, we have James Bond. They're talking about James Bond, and they're like, "Oh, Henry Cavill, The Rock, and all these guys want to get into it." And I'm like, "No, because those guys come with visual baggage. They come with Superman. They come with, you know, The Rock. They come with Ryan Reynolds as well, Ryan Reynolds." And I just, you know, those kind of iconic characters need to be somebody fresh, just like they did with Superman and casting in, you know, Henry Cavill, just like they did. As much as you may hate the movie and despise, I'm not talking directly to you, but listeners as well, of people that may hate, but Superman Returns. Brandon Routh was a good Superman because not he wasn't like, oh, I know who he is and I can remember him from doing this, this, and this. So, you know, I think, like I said, I think grabbing John Cho, it should have been somebody different. Should have been kind of like an up-and-coming or unknown guy. But I did have fun with it, though.
Yeah, he doesn't distract me. I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's not, you know, the guy from the anime, but he's all right. And like I said, I'm only one episode in, so I can't judge what happens throughout the whole season. So give me a break.
I'm three in, and I think the style was so great in 1998 when it came out. I don't know if it translates completely here and now. It's very Tarantino-esque. I mean, that's what it was. It was an anime kind of Tarantino style, that you know, Kill Bill style, or the, you know, and it just that style that Tarantino's known for. And I just don't know if that's translating quite as well as it should live action, because there's just certain things I'm like, I just not getting onto it. I'm going to continue to watch it, but yeah, I'm just not a super fan. Like, if it stopped now, I wouldn't be upset.
Okay. But I'm going to keep checking it out, and that is streaming on Netflix right now. So check out Cowboy Bebop.
I got my Netflix back because I had to.
No, you can borrow mine. So.
Well, no, I got mine back a couple. Okay. About last just month. Yeah, no, I got mine back because I was like,
I've been borrowing your Disney Plus like hell lately. So I'm going through the entire MCU timeline.
That's what you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, which is I didn't even notice it because they had like phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and then it says in order. And that's where I watched Captain Marvel again. And after watching Captain Marvel again in that timeline order, I was like, oh.
So now, okay, now you've done three times or two times? Is that your...
This is the second. The second time, yeah. Okay. Because I was watching the timeline order. Right now, I just finished Dark World, and I'm on Guardians of the Galaxy right now. So it's just something to watch at night before I go to bed.
Very cool. Very good. Yeah, yeah. I've started jumping on. I was looking at some things on Disney that I want to check out. I do want to check out the Behind the Mask. I think for Boba Fett, there's a documentary on that. I want to watch that and see.
Is it up there yet, or is it on?
It should be up there by now. Yeah, and I think they're finally dropping. I've been waiting forever. I know this has nothing to do with Heroes of Silent, but what is it? The guy that did Lord of the Rings. Shit. The director, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Peter Jackson.
Yeah, Peter Jackson's did a documentary of the Beatles called Get Back, and they've been advertising that since March. So I really want to watch that. But yeah, that's why I've been kind of checking out. It's like, man, I've been paying for this, and I know you've been watching the hell out of it, but I just haven't. So
I have lately. I ain't gonna lie. I finished all the Bad Batch. Now I'm an MCU. I've been checking out the World of Gordon and the Jeff Goldblum too. So a lot of good stuff on there. Thank you, mate.
Yeah. Yep. So any news or anything that you've got that we want to cover? I mean, we've pretty much caught up on all our watch new releases. So
I don't know. Do you want to like put the Spider-Man trailer up there so we can go shot for shot and see where the Spider-Man are at, like everybody else is?
No, I don't know because it's all bullshit to me. Sorry.
It's the first time we've talked about it.
I'm just going to say it's Freak Show. That's who's hitting him. It's Freak Show.
I have never seen I have never seen a trailer that's been out less than a week being so memed and so dissected ever. Like, I've seen trailers that we'll sit there and look at the trailer, like, yeah, you know, that's pretty good there. But this one, you have people like zooming in. Hey, no, he's right there. And look at this shot. Like, I have never seen a trailer dissected so much like I've seen in this one.
Yeah, I think
And the trailer's good. It's good. It's a good trailer. I was going to see it anyway, but my God, the dissection that we have here, it's insane.
It's kind of honest. I got to be honest with you, dude. The last week, I have had just this bad taste in my mouth with fandoms. I mean, just in general. It's just so much negativity, so much backtalking, so much anger. I'm just like, man, what is wrong with these people? Just sit back and enjoy it, because they're gonna be upset, really upset when, you know, they're wrong, or, you know, it's somebody else.
Why can't people just enjoy it? Like, look. You've heard the rumors. You know who's in it. Obviously, I'm going to say I think they are in it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any beyond a shadow of doubt, but they just want to hold it back.
Yeah. Honestly, I got to be honest. I mean, yes, and we know Marvel is known for doing that shit. I mean, I think probably the biggest one you and I always talk about is when Night End Games, Infinity War, when you see the Hulk running it through Wakanda. He wasn't there, you know, Civil War. They edited out Spider-Man, you know, so it's not the first time in a trailer that they've edited things out like that. But I think they're a little bit better than that. than the head turn from Lizard, which if you look at the scene at that very moment, the scaffolding on his right side is blowing up. So wouldn't you turn to your left to get away from the explosion? Kind of think that's what it is.
The way they zoomed it in, it looked like, oh, he's going to punch the face.
And then I think the other one is when Spidey and Doctor Strange are fighting in the street, and they're like, look, there's a web coming out of nowhere grabbing Spidey's legs. And I'm like, well, do you see Spidey aiming into the little vortex that Strange just created, which basically Spidey's grabbing himself? Yeah, just some of them are just – especially if anybody's a TikTok fan or a subscriber, you'll find them all over TikTok, and I laugh my ass off.
It's insane. It's just insane. I was gonna see it anyway, but my god, like every day there's like a new video. Look what I found here. I'm like, okay, guys, I get it. We're excited. I'm excited too. But dude, let this shit breathe. I get it. It's out there. Like they're gonna be in it. You're not gonna be disappointed. They're gonna be in it. I've read they're gonna be in it like towards the middle of the movie. Which that makes sense.
Well, you even have the moment at the very end of the trailer, the last thing that Strange says, he's like, I can't stop them. They're coming through, you know. And so, we don't know if it's all the multiverses or what is it. And so many great things. I mean, there's so much going on here. This is the linchpin. I think the reason this is getting so much attention, this is really the linchpin for the beginning of the next phases of what's going to go forward, the introduction of Fantastic Four, of X-Men, the end of Spider-Man, really, technically, for the MCU. Because, everything we've heard, this is kind of his last movie. He's even hinting at letting go and getting somebody else in there, obviously hinting at Miles Morales, which, another divisive character that came in,
that's going to be some harsh stuff.
Harsh words out there when that comes out, but...
Words, yeah. I wonder if Peter Porker, the Spider-Ham, will appear in one of the portals.
Sorry, man. If they're going to do it,
This is the movie to do it. Get Spider-Ham out there.
Need you.
I'm down. what do you got?
Did you see the casting news for Ahsoka? They have announced who will be playing Sabine Wren for Ahsoka and Natasha Leo. Yeah, that one's going to be a tough one. I'm just going to bring that up here. But yeah, according to Variety, she has been cast as Sabine Wren, and honestly, looking right at her, perfect. I mean, the visual, that's one thing. I just don't go off visual, because visually you can change how you look. I mean, look what they did for Ahsoka, how they made her look, and I think that's going to be great. But yeah, so we have her signing up for the Ahsoka Tano series.
Just cut her hair a little bit, throw some blue hair on it, and she's there.
Yep, and I mean everything that we know so far about that is basically she's going to join Rosario Dawson, and what we saw at the end of Rebels, where you see Sabine Wren looking at the wall at the temple, and then you see her turn around and see Ahsoka standing there. Hey, are you ready? That's where we're supposed to be taking off from, because apparently that scene in the timeline, that scene is directly after the Mando series when she leaves Mando. And she's like, hey, I've got things I gotta do. So apparently that scene there, that episode of Mando is the beginning of the scene we see at the end of Rebels, where apparently this show will then pick up right directly after that.
Ahsoka, the search for Ezra Bridger.
Yeah, Ezra and who's she going after?
Thrawn.
Yeah. So I mean that alone is gonna drive the hardcore Legends fans just crazy to actually finally get a live Thrawn.
I can't wait. Have they cast Thrawn yet?
No, it's still a lot of talks right now. All they have for the show is they've got Rosario and this young lady here.
I mean, I guess that would get an unknown for Thrawn. I don't want somebody big who's going to overshadow the show.
That was a little, like I was saying, with Bond, you don't want somebody who's going to overshadow. But at the same time, you need some you need some acting chops behind Thrawn.
Thrawn is a very theatrical type character. Not funny, haha, but he's very in his manner.
Yeah.
Definitely
somebody like British trained. You have to be very specific. Yeah, a British actor. I've always said, and I know that's always been out in the fandom, and I don't think he will because he's just so freaking busy. But Cumberbatch,
he won't do it.
He won't do it. But that's the kind of actor I would say we'd be looking for, somebody in that age range, but with that sort of acting chops, I think would be.
I wish.
Yeah, perfect.
I mean, he can you know split some time in his schedule, but you know he's tied up with the MCU and Sherlock. Is he still doing Sherlock, or is Sherlock done?
I don't know.
Because the BBC series are weird because they'll be away for like 2 years.
Yeah, and then you throw in COVID.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's still doing that or it's over. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. But he'd be a great choice. You can go to any of those Brit actors. If he wasn't cast, then
it looks like it ended 2017.
Okay. Who is that one guy we just saw recently? He was in that awful Star Wars movie, and he was there for like 5 minutes and he died. Oh, what's his name? He won an Academy Award. He's a Brit actor.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Well, I mean, it's Star Wars. There's tons of British actors.
Yeah, well, there's tons of British actors. Yeah, I don't mean to say it like that, but who the hell was
he? You know what they could get away with and really, like, save everybody's, like, heart? Go CG. I mean, Star Wars is big about it right now. MCU and you know, Disney and everything. They're really pushing the deep fake kind of stuff. Look what they did with Luke Skywalker. They could get away with just having a stand-in, get a great voice actor, but have this animated face. I mean, look at what they did for Tarkin and Leia. You know, look how great those were. And this is something already kind of animated in its visual look to begin with, being blue and red eyes. They could just get a stand-in body, get a spot-on voice actor, and make everybody sort of happy. Yeah, then make kind of everybody happy, although that would be
Richard E. Grant. Richard E. Grant.
So is that who you're talking? Okay, Richard, I can see what you're doing.
Yeah, because he was basically misusing garbage of Skywalker.
I mean, I know he's not busy at all, but what about Dave DeSmulchen? He's already in everything else.
Dude, Dave DeSmulchen is in everything, man. Come on.
But look at his face, too. He could get away with that. He's got that very slender face.
Talk about busy actors. That guy is in everything. TV, movies, commercials. Hell, I think he was outside the other day doing my lawn. Dave DeSmulchen Lawn Service. There he is.
He's out there raking for you.
Raking for you. Yeah, hey, how you doing, Jeff? Dave DeSmulchen, is that you?
What you doing, man?
You're Polka Dot Man. Shouldn't be doing ruin my lawn. Ridiculous. Good casting, though. Hopefully. Yeah. Ahsoka, I think, is coming out 2023, I think.
2023, yeah, because they're still finishing up, or they've already finished up, but they're getting ready to release Boba. That's what, beginning December, I think.
Yeah, they already finished.
Yeah, Obi-Wan. And then we're going to have Obi-Wan next year. Then we're also going to have a Cassian, which is already wrapped up. So, I mean, we've got three shows.
But Mando season 3.
Well, that doesn't come out until next December. So, I mean, right now I'm talking about three shows that are done. We've got Obi-Wan that's wrapped. We know that Cassian's wrapped. And we know Boba's wrapped. So we got Star Wars, we got our fix going on right now. We're good. You know, we're going to have a little break here. And I'm sure they're going to continue with Bad Batch next season. And I'm sure they'll pull out another anime. I'm sure they'll have something under their dirty little belts that they didn't tell us about.
Yeah, dude. And guess what? We have this.
Yeah. So yeah, we have that. Anything else that you saw?
You seen Delroy Lindo joins the cast of Mahershala Ali in Marvel's Blade reboot?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, I can't wait for
Whistler.
That.
Whistler.
You think?
Yep.
You think they're going to go Whistler for him?
Yeah. Or they might go to that other guy who was before Whistler in the comics. I forgot his name. Booker something. Like, he was his original trainer. But maybe they'll do that instead of Whistler, because we've seen Whistler already, but...
Well, he's I see Whistler, but I think I go to, you know, what we've seen, but to me Whistler's always been an older white gentleman who kind of just helps, you know. It's Blade's, you know, Alfred basically in a way, you know. So I could see that going back. Granted, yeah, he does look like he could be in the age. He's got the grays going on, so I mean I could definitely see that. And if they want to go with an all black cast, he would be perfect for Whistler.
But definitely, he's gonna play. He'll play that mentor type character. I can't see him doing, like, him being like the main bad villain or something. You know, he might get in a fight here and there. Like, they'll show like a flashback. Remember when he was fighting when he was young? But I think he's that mentor character to Blade, kind of like, you know, Chris Christopherson was. So.
Or he could be the mentor who turns villain on him.
Oh, little Liam Neeson action.
Yeah. Have a little change. Those are always the fun ones that when you know.
Those are always the fun ones. That was the best part when I saw Batman Begins. I was like, what? That's not Ra's al Ghul, it's him. Okay. That was kind of cool, though. But yeah, he's joining the cast. I don't know when they're going to start filming this movie.
Is it a movie or a series? I thought this was going to be a series.
This is a movie. It's on the MCU slate.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it wasn't on there.
I'm trying to look right here. Oh, this is going to start production in late 2022, so it'll be out probably by 2023 December. So that's
Well, yeah, they're basically kind of riding off of the Eternals wave right now, because that's where they sort of, you know, made comment about it.
Yeah, and like the Eternals has basically opened up. I would say it's the true opening of Phase 5.
It is, yeah. This is really going to be the true
opening. I think we both agreed on that. That's like literally, if you guys haven't seen it yet, go watch it. But like the two post-credit scenes basically are alluding, hey, we're not here anymore. We're there. So it's good. And I like where they're going. I think it's going to be fun. A lot of like weirdo characters that they're introducing. So I can't wait.
So I got to ask you a question.
Ask away.
What do you think about the new Batman leaving Gotham and traveling over to New York City?
I don't have an issue with it.
No,
I really don't. I don't have any issue with it. To me, I thought Gotham City's been played out for a while. Him going somewhere new, starting a new, like building a new Batcave, building a new armory. Dude, that's exciting. And I've seen people online like, oh, he's always been in Gotham City. I go, yes, for like 80 years, dude. It's time for a change. You know, I haven't read Future State or whatever, Malignant State, whatever that comic book series is, goes with the new Batman. But I'm cool with it, man. Go somewhere new. Start. Sometimes you need a fresh start. Batman needs a fresh start.
Well, I mean, if you go back to the beginning, he was in New York City. I mean, yeah. Technically, that's it. There was no Gotham when they first rolled it out, you know, the original. Yeah, Gotham eventually, got played in and everything. And it was funny. I was trying to remember, what the hell was I watching? It was was it a movie or anime? I'm trying to think. And they made the comment, I kind of lost my shit for a moment, where they made the comment that they are in Gotham State. And I'm like, no, bad. Gotham is not a state. Gotham is a city. Mm-hmm. Gotham is supposed to be Jersey, if I remember correctly, or it's supposed to be across the river.
It's New Jersey. No, you're right.
So cool. I thought that was funny. I was like, what the?
I think it'll be kind of cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff you could write with, you know, Batman going to New York City. I mean, that character breeds New York City. That it's perfect for him. I mean, can you see him like swinging from like the Empire State Building going to
again? Gotham is New York. New York is Gotham. They're interchangeable. Yeah. So yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think that's.
I think I wrote it down when you posted. I was like, I have no issues with it whatsoever. I like newness. I like when you breed something new into a character. It's kind of like when I was watching the beginning of Flash season 8. The other day, because I was so pissed off the last couple of seasons, and they began like right away. They didn't waste any time. Like, yeah, we're gonna get right into it. I'm like, ooh, okay. They showed Despero. The CGI in Despero looks really good. I'm like, okay, well, we're here. So this the premise sounds pretty cool. They're bringing some other stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm down. I'm with it. I like newness, man. Newness is good. Sometimes change can be a scary thing, but sometimes it's not a scary thing.
So we've got a new cast for, I know last week we actually talked about a new casting for the Avatar The Last Airbender. Got a new cast this week. They announced that they've casted Kim's Convenience star, if you guys have ever seen that, Sung-Yung Lee, or Paul Sung-Yung Lee, is going to be playing General or Uncle Iroh for the Netflix series for Avatar The Last Airbender, which... I love that guy for it. If nobody knows, if there are any Star Wars fans out there, he was one of the X-Wing pilots in Mandalorian. He's one of the Rebel pilots in Mandalorian. Yeah. So, but yeah, they've got three casts right now. They've got Paul now as Uncle Iroh. They have Lim Kay. He is playing Yatso. And then we also have Commander Zhao. Ken Lung is being played by Yatso. So it's shaping up like an amazing cast right now. I can't wait to see it. The hardest thing, again, it's going to be right where what's his nuts fell off with the movie, is the believability of the powers and the magic. It's going to be where you got to sell it at. That's where they kind of fell off in presenting Aang as a great as a good live action. Again, I've always been a big proponent. There are certain things that don't need to go live action. They're just sometimes it just works animated and it can't. Go the other way.
We just talked about Cowboy Bebop, right? This is another difficult one to adapt, especially
for some people. And it's already happened. Yeah, it's already happened one time and failed. And
failed miserably.
Yeah.
You look at the online haters for that. I think that and like Dragon Ball Z Revolution is like probably the most hated out of like the remakes out there, like especially by me. Like Dragon Ball was just an atrocity. That was like not even close to being anything. Same thing with the Airbender, the last Airbender. That was, although I thought, okay, well, this is something. And then I started watching the series a little bit, like a couple episodes. I'm like, this shit is not kiddie.
It isn't. Yeah, that's something that Nickelodeon was great on. That's why there's a few shows that they're coming out with on Nickelodeon that are animated. I'm like, I'm okay with this because they have a way of showing, teaching, and then entertaining at the same time. And yeah, the Last Airbender was one of those ones that just knocked out of the park. But it was also the writers. The two writers that made this really focused and concentrated. When you see the fighting styles in the animated, they based it off of true fighting styles. They actually did the stop motion animation thing with, or not stop motion, but the dots CGI thing on real fighters doing real moves, and then they based their animation off of those real moves. So they had it based in reality.
Mm.
And then, of course, the very heavy Zen background that they talk about throughout the whole show. So I think it's going to be awesome. So yeah, we definitely have that coming from Netflix. That's another reason why I think I probably got my Netflix going again. I'm like, crap, there's a lot of shit coming out. I gotta have.
Yeah, I want to see. When is Gaiman's Lucifer? Sandman comes out next year sometime, right?
Yeah. Again, yeah. So that's and I'm in the middle of reading or listening to the audiobook again. Man, that's such a good. You've got to sit down and listen to the audiobook of the Sandman, dude. You would love it. The more I listen to it, I know you would just go crazy over it. It's great. It's great how they're doing it.
I will definitely have to check that out, sir.
And I guess the last thing, this came from Collider.com earlier this week. Kathleen Kennedy's contract with Lucasfilm renewed for 2024. So I know I heard the grumbling all over the Phantom Menace on YouTube. Like, oh my God. So much hate.
People hated the sequel trilogy series. I mean, I didn't.
That's really what it is. If you go down, that's where that's
done. Like recently, it's like, what have you done for me lately? I think what she's done lately has been great.
Yeah, everything she's done since then. But like, I think it was just bad choosing to put the wrong person in that position and that person.
The movies, especially the trilogies, you gotta have a beginning and ending. And I don't think they had that in mind when they did. Like the beginning of The Force Awakens, I thought, okay, we have a great beginning. Where do you go from here? And although I like The Last Jedi, people hated it.
Yeah.
And Force Awakens, I despise. So those trilogies, dude, and I hate saying this. I'm going to say this to you like in a public forum. I actually like the prequels more.
Oh, yeah. And everybody does now. That's why it's so funny. It's like when the next time they come out with a Star Wars movie, it's going to turn around to where people start liking these three better than they do like the new ones, whatever they do. Whatever direction they take is going to be so against the fandom of the old fandom that they're just going to lose their shit because that's not what they're used to, just like they did with the prequels. And then when when they come out with a new movie, it's going to give the haters a new place to drift their hatred to.
Hate this.
Yeah, because it's new. I think it was on her. Yes, it's definitely on her. I'm never going to say it's not her fault. She put the wrong person in charge of that series. But at the same time, we really weren't sure that that's how he is. We know for sure now that he's a great starter, horrible finisher. J.J. Abrams, I'm sorry. I mean, we knew it we saw it in Lost, but then he did some other things. We're like, okay, he's doing good here. Started in Star Trek, started doing good there. Now, I could say with Star Trek, I'm not angry about Star Trek. There were some changes that, you know, your diehards don't like, but I think overall in the J.J.
the darkness, that's a lot of
hate. Yeah, there's a lot of hate. But in the Kelvinverse trilogy that they had out, I'm okay with what they did. It was new. It was a fresh take on it. Completely fine with it. So he didn't kill it. He just did something different that, again, the diehards didn't. He picked up Star Wars and he picked up Star Wars and claiming all over when he was doing promos tours for Star Trek. Everybody asked him about, you know, what's your fandom about and stuff like, oh, I'm more of a fan of Star Wars. He said that. So, yeah, that kind of geared him to, you know, getting that kind of attention from Kathleen. And then she threw him in there and then saw him not finish. As I said, I'm going to throw it. That's going to be on him because everything else she has greenlit has been fucking gold.
Yeah.
Clone Wars, Rebels, Mandalorian, everything else is golden. Even, I know everybody's going to go, well, that's Filoni and that's Favreau. Yes, they are the ones she put them in charge for. So, yes, she was the one that said, okay, I want you guys to do this. And that's why I'm saying, yes, it's her fault for the movies. But you know what? I think the shows have made up for it tenfold.
Even Solo, like watching it for a second glance, it's not as bad as people think. Now, I have my issues with the guy playing Solo, but in the movie as a whole?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty decent.
I think so we're going to have any issues with anybody playing Solo. I mean, it's just...
That's one of those characters, man, that he, like, that actor overshadows anybody who's going to play it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he didn't have the characters, but I think with Solo, it was about the continuing building of his side of the world.
And I've always said, you're right about that. My issue was, like, to me, that's not the Solo that I'm going to see in New Hope. Like, there was some things in there you saw, but, like, to me, like, he still has to have a little bit of that swagger. And I felt in that movie, like, everybody else, Lando was great. Like, I could see, okay, that's Billy Dee. That's Lando. It's going to go forward. Even the weird droids, even Kira, that character, like, I thought she was awesome. And they should give her own series. I think she's going to come back and do some Marvel stuff. But, like, Alden, like, good actor, but, man, it just...
Again, I wasn't. I'm not the same person that I was in my 20s, that I was in my 30s. So I completely understand that what they did. I was like, that's not the guy. He's got to learn to be that guy. He's being introduced into that world right now. This is step one into that scoundrel universe.
Man,
he has to get that thick skin and know how to play people. And that's where I think it was just him being new to the world.
Well, I felt even though you're a little bit younger, you still have those mannerisms are going to lead to what you're going to become when you get older. But hey, that's just me.
Oh, no, dude. If you knew me when I was 22, 23, I'm not that person anymore. I actually had my shit together.
I heard things.
I know you don't because you don't know anybody from that time.
No, I heard it from you. I heard things.
I had cars. I had two car house, two or four bedroom house, two car garage. I had everything going on for me. So yeah, what I am now and what I was then, not the same person. All right. So is there anything else you got?
Nobody. That's pretty much all.
Anybody out there? Just so you know, there was a technical boo boo on my part. Midnight Movies, the podcast will come back. I somehow deleted them. So they will come back. We'll get you guys a new link. We'll have that all updated on Facebook. And I'm going to put a little thing out on Facebook about that just so everybody knows if they question where it went. But it will be out. Maybe a week before we get a new series coming out. But once we get all of that set up, it'll be out there running for you guys. But sorry about that. I had an accident when I was doing something.
Ouch, sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah, right, it's okay. Hey, it's, you know, something happens. It's your show, and I felt bad when I did. I was like, mother...
Speaking of Midnight Movies, I guess the elephant in the room, there was a little issue last night. Let's just call it the power of light. I didn't get a chance to record. Some walked the line, and so we'll have to put that back a little bit. Maybe I'll do it tonight. I'm not sure. But
yeah, we got the time. You know, if you want to, you can. Or actually, we can. Well, we'll see. We'll talk offline about that.
We'll talk in the green room. Yeah, we'll talk in the green room. But I apologize. The power went out over here in my little hood, and it was out for quite a bit. And I was very angry, yelling at the electric company all night till I finally passed out with anger. So we'll get that for you soon. Check out Midnight Movies on the regular. We'll get it back there.
Right now it is still out there, but it might get dropped here shortly. So if you guys can't find it, that's where it is. But it should be back quickly.
Okay.
All right, guys. Make sure you do check us out. Like I said, with Heroes Asylum, we just dropped our 131st one. We're just going to keep going. We got a great new year coming up for you guys. Don't forget, in a few weeks, we will be at KaiserCon. Kane and I will be there at our booth Friday and Saturday. So make sure you guys do check us out. Come by, say hi. A lot of great things there, and we'll make sure to get you updated. There's a KFC right next door, guys. Run over and get us a chicken.
Yeah, get us something. Get a Coke. Get us a couple beers too. We're gonna be there for a while. So check it out, guys. Twitter, Heroes Asylum _podcast, Instagram the Heroes Asylum from Mike to me to you. Get to the asylum. We'll see you soon. Bye.